When I was thinking about and praying about what portion of God's word to focus on tonight, I was led towards the Great Mission Commission and then to the psalm that Hazel kindly read to us earlier. Then I thought, but Michael's covering the psalms each second Sunday of the month in the morning, so then I worked out that to get to the end of the psalms, God willing, will be another 11 and a half years. And to get to Psalm 117, just another 8.5 years. So hopefully I'm not treading on Michael's toes by covering this psalm now. Well, the occasion and the author of this psalm are unknown. And it's the shortest psalm, the shortest single chapter in the Bible. And it's the middle chapter of the Bible. But its depth far exceeds its size. It is quoted and given much value to in Romans 15 verse 11, as Sue kindly read to us. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. Where the Apostle Paul quotes it as proof that the gospel was to be preached to the Gentile nations, and that it would be entertained by them. And as Spurgeon once quoted David Dickinson as saying, in God's worship, it's not always necessary to be long. Few words sometimes say what is sufficient, as this short psalm gives us to understand. I'd like to start looking at this psalm by looking at the words nations and peoples. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. If you think about how we're taught English language, we learn that the word people is already plural. So you don't need to add an S to it. But there it is in Psalm 117 verse 1. In fact, it occurs 224 times in the ESV translation and 163 times in the NIV translation. When I looked up the word peoples in the online Oxford English Dictionary, it turned up no results. And in another online English dictionary, all it said was that on occasion an S can be added to make the plural peoples, but gave no further explanation. But the reason that people can be made plural, the same way group can be made plural, a group has people in it, and a people has people in it. But a group is a group because something unites the people, and a people is a people because something unites the people. So there can be groups and there can be peoples. And then the word extol. The dictionary gives three descriptions of the word extol. To lift up, raise, elevate. Number two, to lift up in dignity or authority, to uphold the authority of. And three, to raise high with praise, to praise highly, to magnify. So verse 1 is saying, praise the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh God, the Lord's personal name. Praise the Lord, everybody in all the earth. Praise him highly in dignity and authority. Magnify him. If we look together at this first verse, this is an earnest address to both the Jews and Gentiles to take action to glorify Jehovah God. But the Gentile nations could not be expected to join in the praise of the Lord unless they were also to be partakers in the benefits which Israel enjoyed. And hence the psalm was an indication to Israel that the grace and mercy of their God would not be confined to one nation, but would in days to come be extended to all mankind, even as Daniel had been given a vision of the coming kingdom, as we read in Daniel 7 verse 13. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And as we read in Revelation 5 verse 9, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, With your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, so we can know and believe that no one tribe or nation or language of men shall be unrepresented in the perfect number that will ascend to the kingdom of the Lord of all. Individuals are being gathered out of every nation and peoples and tongue by the preaching of the gospel, and these have joined in magnifying the grace which sought them out and brought them to know the Saviour. But these are but the beginnings of a number which no one can count, who will come to worship the All-Glorious One. Praise Him, all you nations. Having done it once, we should do it again, and do it still more passionately and enthusiastically, daily increasing in our praise and worship of the Lord. You may not feel that you have anything to praise God for, but there are so many reasons for us to praise and thank God for in our lives, not least for the things without which we couldn't exist. The air we breathe, the food we eat, clothes for warmth, our family, our friends. How much more then should we praise and thank Him for our salvation? The groups we're discussing are the kind of groups Jesus was referring to when he said after his resurrection in Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." All nations in these verses being, big words for me, pantatheithene, sorry if I've pronounced that wrong, it's not easy to say, is the same phrase in Psalm 117 verse 1. These are the groups that Jesus meant in Matthew 24 verse 14 when he said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So a huge question for the followers of Jesus today is, or should be, how many peoples are there, and how many of them are still unreached with the gospel of the kingdom? How many still have no church, no outreach, in our own land and in others? Well, on the US International Missions Board, for their missionary purposes and from their extensive research, they estimate there are approximately 11,700 people groups in the world. They define a people group as a group of individuals, families and clans who share a common language and ethnic identity, or more specifically as a people group is the largest group through which the gospel can flow without encountering a significant barrier or understanding of acceptance. Of these 11,700 people groups, it's estimated that there are still approximately 6,800 unreached people groups, more than 2,100 of those groups numbering more than 100,000 people, with a total population in all those people groups, 6,800 currently unreached people groups, of over 3.4 billion people. 2,000 years on from the Great Commission, with all the technology and other great resources made available to us, and in terms of people groups, we've possibly still completed less than 50% of the work. Well, that's not to say that the Lord's not coming back today or tomorrow. These figures may not be correct, only the Lord knows those numbers. Or the Lord could work a miracle that all these people groups hear and respond today. Therefore, concerning the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the great, awesome motivation to complete the task. This is not an event to be passively waited for, as some would treat it. It's the amazing conclusion of His all-glorious coming. And take heart, as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 to 11. "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. If we hear someone say the days of missions or sending missionaries is over, we know something's not right. The day of missions and sending missionaries is not over until the commission is complete. God means for us to engage with him, to have the privilege of bringing about Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Well, we are meant to think and feel and work prayerfully with the Lord in this cause. As Henry Alonga alluded to a couple of weeks ago when he was speaking about God's will, who knows how many of our personal problems are owing to narrowness of thinking and smallness of affections in relation to God's global purposes. May God give us a heart and a mind to know and love and reach the peoples of the world for his glory. This is the world we live in. It's the world that God is guiding and shaping for his glory. So let's join him in his great global purpose and not be limited in our thinking and feeling and acting to our local concerns. Let us give ourselves to missions, either going or sending, and act in our own personal mission field that God has graciously given us. Now if we turn together to the second and last verse of the psalm. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. By which is meant not only his great love toward the Jewish people, but towards the whole of mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike. The Lord is kind to us as his creatures, and merciful to us as sinners. His mercy has been great, all-powerful. In Christ Jesus, God has shown mercy mixed with grace to the very highest degree. We can all join in this grateful acknowledgement and in the praise and worship which is due because of it. And we know that the truth of the Lord endures forever. He's kept his covenant promise that in the seed of Abraham all nations of the earth will be blessed. And he will eternally keep every single promise of that covenant to all those who put their trust in him by his grace. What God has promised, he will provide. This should be a cause of constant and grateful praise for us all. Let me repeat that. What God has promised, he will provide. This should be a cause of constant and grateful praise for us all. And if we've made that commitment of saving faith in the Lord Jesus by God's grace, then we can rest assured that we are his and in him for time and eternity, and none can pluck us from his hand. Well, finally, let's look at the basis of the people's praise. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. This, as we've already touched upon, leads inevitably to Christ Jesus as the basis of the praise of the nations. How is that? Notice that the basis of the nations' praise is God's love and faithfulness towards Israel. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us. God is loving and faithful to Israel. Therefore, praise him, all nations and all peoples outside Israel. Why is God's blessing of love and faithfulness to Israel the basis of praise for all nations and all peoples? When God chose Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, He said in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham. How? Because the ultimate decisive seed of Abraham was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, Christ Jesus. As Paul wrote in Galatians 3, verse 16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. Is Christ Jesus, who offers himself as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, not just the sin of Israel, John 1:29. He says that anyone who believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. And he holds out his hands to Israel and the nations and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And as we've already said, in Matthew 28:18-20, he then gives a new command, together with a promise. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So when Psalm 117 says, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, it means, finally, praise God, all peoples, because through Israel a Saviour will come into the world, and if you believe and put your faith in him, he will take away your sins, he will fulfil all God's demands on your behalf, he will die for you, rise again and sit down at the right hand of God, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Let us listen to the offers of the grace of God, and pray for that time when all nations on earth will speak and sing his praises, and let us bless God for his amazing grace. And until that time, he's gathering his elect from all the peoples of the earth. He will one day be praised by every tongue and tribe and people and nation. This world will fade, pain and problems will disappear, and Christ will shine. We should remember that what God has promised, he will provide, and that this should be a constant cause of grateful praise for us all. He calls all of us to be his goers and senders, but not on our own in our own strength, but with him in our weakness, in his strength, by his mercy and his grace. I pray that we can encourage one another, build each other up, and pray for each other in this, to our blessing and for the salvation of many, to his honour and glory.